We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
He's a gunslinger. You know, he throws that ball. So that's just, he's a gunslinger. He's been in the league for a very, very long time. So he's smart. He's a smart guy. So we're just excited. Whoever the quarterback is, we're just going to be ready.
He's a savvy vet. He's a lot more elusive than people think he is. He throws the ball down the field. He's not scared to lower his shoulder. He's just a hell of a player, honestly. He's dynamic. He can run a little bit, you know, and he's a playmaker, honestly.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I've got a tweet that says that the Sabres are soft.
You know, it's funny.
They lose their first game of the season, and the brigade of, well, the kind of person that would call a team soft is ready.
I'm getting ready for the show. I'm out in the newsroom here, and our colleague at WBEN, Randy Bushover, kind of half jokingly, half serious, says to me, I want to be upset with the first person who calls, tweets, or texts and says same old Sabres.
Yeah.
It only took a couple minutes.
Well, there's not a single team without a regulation loss now, because Colorado lost last night too.
Yeah, so that's already lost.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Sorry that the Sabres were the second to last team to lose in regulation to the tweeter that says they're soft.
I was feeling good at 2-0.
By the way,
feeling really good.
They responded to every challenge last night.
Yeah,
they just didn't play dirty like the Ducks definitely did.
They got, and Anaheim is always one of those teams that plays, quote, the heavy game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they crossed the line last night, and they didn't have to pay for it because you didn't get any more power play goals other than your first power play.
They gave them
8 power plays. All were full.
And in terms of being tough, how good's Anaheim been lately?
They've been better than last year.
Years.
Oh, no, in recent years now.
5 years nothing.
They must be in a playoff drought, I assume. Yeah. I didn't check. Yeah, no, I you know, make them pay. I mean, I thought, whatever, Reinhardt stepped in on the hit on Olofsson, and did McCabe step in on something?
Yep.
They went after, you know, they went in. They didn't have fights, but they went after guys. Omark gave the guy a little blocker to the face when he mugged
Sobotka.
But, you know, so they're going to take penalties, score. I mean, they didn't score on the power play, so it really, you didn't take advantage of the mistakes that Anaheim was giving you.
It was a old school hockey game, as they might say.
Yeah, look, Anaheim played physical, and I thought from the second period on, they took the play to the Sabres, and the Sabres weren't able to beat them.
And from the second period on, the officials decided that tripping wasn't tripping. If the Ducks were going to trip a Sabre, like, I'm not going to try and sound like a sour grapes
guy. I don't think it was on the officials, but, you know, it was a sloppy game.
It was a very...
It got very chippy.
It was I'm not going to let the officials off.
You thought it was badly get?
Yeah. Horrible.
Really? Okay.
Horrible in terms of how they called that game.
Yeah.
There were a number of interferences, trips, high sticks that got missed.
Yeah.
And the Sabres, you know, they got called. Jokiharju got called for one. Oposo got called for one. A couple of them were pretty soft.
Larson got called for one.
Yeah. Fine. You're going to call those? That's fine. They weren't. Sometimes you get a trip because it's an accident. And other times you get it because, you know, you reach out and trip a guy. I mean, the Ducks got away with a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's the penalty that goes to Nick Ritchie because he's tough for punching a guy from behind, you gotta love that. Or if it's the guy that blasted Olofsson in the face into the boards, whatever. Yeah. They played on that edge, and they interfered and tripped, and they did not get called. So it was the first time in a long time. I told you I'm not going to get too mad at officials anymore. That was only in the NFL.
Yeah.
In the NHL, I mean, I'm not even that mad, but it's worth saying it was brutal.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, yeah, I wasn't. I mean, I'm not mad because at least if you know that's how they're calling things, maybe you can respond accordingly or adjust accordingly.
Well, you can't respond if they're tripping you and they don't call tripping. What are you going to do, trip them back? They didn't call tripping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you did get 8 power plays.
That's
a lot of power plays. What do you average, 4 in a game?
But
they got twice as many.
Well, how many were 30-second power plays?
Yeah, well, I know at least one was not a full. Maybe two, because there was some 4-on-4 hockey in there. Plus, you know, they had other chances, you know? I mean, Olofsson had a great chance in the 3-2 game and missed the net on a breakaway.
The Sabres were 1-for-7 on the power play.
Oh, I thought it was 1-for-8. Okay, because they scored on their first one.
1-for-7, 11 minutes on the power play. That's okay. Still a lot. 11 minutes.
Yeah, so it's not 14.
They got the one goal.
Yeah, I mean, Olofsson had a chance, right? I don't know if VC's ever going to score. He's going to be this year's Connor Sherry, where it seems like every shot he takes is off the wing and not exactly a high percentage shot for a guy who's supposed to be a net front presence. Nothing from Jimmy VC at the net. Not to get all over his case for last night, but he's never going to score. What else? Larson had a couple of glorious chances. Skinner had 9 shots on goal last night. I mean, they had opportunities.
They did. Olofsson had Gibson beat.
Oh, the backhander goes in. It's a tie game.
I mean, he had him beat. He had half the net.
Right.
He just missed.
Right. So they did have some really good chances. You know, Evan Rodriguez is coming in all alone on the right-hand side of the ice. Maybe he should have driven to the net instead of putting the wrister up in the circle, whatever. He doesn't score on that chance. So they had a number of opportunities to do something last night. And, you know, it's funny. They showed John Gibson's stats before the game began, and it's like 940 save percentage. They put up 2 goals in the first period. I'm thinking, this is great. This guy's giving up 1.8 per game. They're in really good shape.
It might have been their most impressive period in a decade.
He had 19 shots in the first period and 12 scoring chances. You can't play a much better first period. I would say road first period, but anywhere first period. That's why at 2-0, and when they overturned the goal, I thought, all right, good. They're going to make it into the break with the 2-goal lead.
Yep.
And then Anaheim scored again.
They were flying to start that game.
Eichel, I mean, look, they lose the game, which is sad because Eichel had another wow moment. His goal was a thing of beauty. You know, the play he made, the breakup, going up ice, holding, I forget which defenseman it was, maybe Manson, holding the guy off, driving to the net and beating John Gibson. It was a beautiful play. And then you get Olofsson again on the power play. And as I said, at 2-0, you're feeling really, really good because they're playing a tremendous first period. And, you know, they're going to play tonight in L.A. You'd love to get the first of the back-to-back nights, get a win, guaranteed a split in Southern California, and it just doesn't happen. Like I said, the Ducks played very aggressively. I thought the Ducks, their penalty killing last night was tremendous. They were really getting up on the Sabres at times. They were really pressuring puck handlers. Sometimes they'd flood one side when the puck was on the half wall. I thought they flustered the Sabres a little bit in terms of their penalty killing, and they did the best job so far of anybody against the Sabres power play. They took away time and space. I thought that was a really huge part of the game last night.
Sabres have a few players that just aren't on it right now, and I think at the top of the list is Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah, he's struggling.
He's just not on it.
They took him off the number one power play at some point last night, put Colin Miller out there, and he doesn't tie up his guy on I think it was the Henrique goal, and he just seems to be a little bit shaky at times handling the puck. So, he was producing points, but he's not as strong on the puck as he needs to be at this point. And VC, anything. I'm not trying to single him out, but this guy was added to help the offense.
You could lump Rodriguez in there.
Yeah, he had a great chance last night. Really, since we sat there talking about Rodriguez in the offseason, glad they signed him, always liked this guy. You know, maybe he can bring his point totals up a little bit more. Hey, he's not playing to start the season. Why not? We like Rodriguez. And since he's gone in the lineup, he really hasn't been a factor at all. And he had one glorious chance last night and shot it into John Gibson.
Which, to some degree, is to be expected. You get a new coach, some players are going to respond positively. Mm-hmm. Other players might get lost or might not exactly fit into what they do. It's probably still too early to say that. But VZ, Rodriguez, sure. Sobotka is okay.
But you can be better there. I mean,
you can definitely be better on
that line
and
than Sobotka.
I'm probably going to live here for a while until they make a change. I don't need the change. They're still winning. But I think Olofsson on the top line is not a good idea.
Yeah,
he's just not good enough 5-on-5 to play on that line. I mean, Eichel got his goal unassisted. A couple times when Olofsson has to carry the puck, that's when I think there's a little bit more of a problem. Hmm. He can get walled off a little easier. I mean, he almost scores on the breakaway, which would have been 5-on-5, four on four.
It was right after their. It was 5-on-5.
Whenever it was. I mean, I'm not down on him as a player. I'm starting to think, you know, if I could put together the best line in hockey or one of them by putting Jeff Skinner on that wing, then I would think about it. Or if I can make this defenseman trade whenever or however it's going to happen and get another winger like Nikolai Ehlers or whoever, Taylor Hall. I mean, I heard Joe DiBiase talking about him last night.
Well, there's some speculation if New Jersey keeps going south fast, they would move Taylor Hall. He's got one year left, I think.
So I'm happy. I'm not upset. They're bound to lose a game. The first period they looked tremendous, and then it was ducks. Mm-hmm. But I'm still just kind of keying in on that. I don't know how I feel about Olofsson. I do know how I feel about it. I'm not satisfied with Olofsson on the first line with Eichel.
If you moved Skinner up, I wonder what they do. Does Olofsson now flip to the left side? I'm trying to remember where he played in Rochester last year. Whether it was Sweden or Rochester, at some point he's been on the left side. So I assume they would put him on the left side. Look, and the thing with Sobotka is what we're saying about Sobotka is he's not playing as bad as last year. Well, that's not good enough. I mean, you do need to get a more of a presence on that line. And we talked about the idea of a Poso. Maybe it's him. If Rodriguez got off to a good start, maybe you could elevate Rodriguez to that line. But, there were still 5-on-5. There are still things to work out. You brought up Olofsson. We can bring up a piece on the Johansson line. And then the third line is producing next to nothing at this point. So I don't think they've relied on their power play. But, heck, the power play was, what was it? It was 9 out of 25 of their goals this season were on the power play. So they do need to up it on 5-on-5. And the problem is you're missing pieces or getting nothing out of the middle two lines.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing that scorer on the right-hand side with Skinner and Johansson. And the Mittelstadt line since opening night really isn't doing much offensively. And look, the Larsson line's been good, but to ask them to be more productive, I'm not expecting that. You know, they'll chip in the odd goal or two, but I don't expect regular production from that line.
Well, it's not just the lines. The defense had a rough night. I was listening I'd like to thank the Sabres for giving up that fourth goal. I was up watching the game, staying up late.
Yeah.
Look at the timing of these goals here. So it's 3-2 late in the second period. And my wife is awake next to me. We're watching on the couch. And I say, the Ducks get one here, we can go to bed.
Oh, you did, huh?
1947.
Yeah, right.
13 seconds. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bed. And if they win it, I'll be excited when I wake up. I actually went to bed and put the game on. I used the Alexa, you know, play WGR kind of thing. And so I was listening in the third period.
Some people listen to music going to bed.
I woke up during postgame, and I got a chance to kind of listen to Brian and Paul talk about how things went. And Paul was, you know, rattling off the number of defenders that had a bad game, and it was a bunch. Colin Miller had a rough night. Mm-hmm. Dahlin, Ristolainen had a rough night.
Yep.
So, hey, you have 82 of those. You know, it's far from panic mode, of course. That's their first loss. Colorado's loss was in overtime, by the way, so there is still a team without a regulation loss. But, you know, hey, it happens. If they had played the entire game like they played the first period, I would have come in here talking about,
wow,
not even thinking. You know what? It would have gone into Bills mode. Forget the wild card. Hmm. They're better than that.
Yeah.
That's how good the first period
they
was.
They were good. And there was a lot to like about it. And that's why I said I thought when they got the overturned goal that maybe they'd be okay. They'd get out of the first period, feel good about the first 20 minutes. But they give up that goal. And then they give one up in the first minute of the second period, right? They give up one early in the second period. Yeah. Was that the
Raquel.
Though that was Dahlin. No, it was... Was it Raquel or Henrique's goal?
The
second goal for them?
Raquel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, that's the Risto one where he tries to backhand the puck behind the net and it's knocked out of midair. And then, I'm not sure how much I want to blame Ristolainen. The other side going up the near boards, he had a guy on him too. I think he made the right play. Guy knocks the puck out of midair. What are you going to do? I'm not sure if that's more on McCabe for committing down low. Or Reinhardt's got to do a better job of tying up Raquel. I mean, he's there with him.
I think it's a turnover down low. Okay. I mean, they gave it away for a two-on-none in front of the goalie.
Yeah, I guess then Ristolainen, I guess at that point, Ristolainen's got to just eat the puck.
Sometimes we're
just
asking players to be psychic and understand a turnover's going to happen. I think that's on Ristolainen.
Okay, he's got to eat the puck. There's nowhere for him to go with that puck.
He had McCabe on the other side, right?
But that's what he was trying to do. Yeah. He was trying to get it to McCabe. And the guy knocks the puck out of midair. So the only other option is then he eats it, takes on the forecheck, and you play along the boards and try and kick it free and go.
Greg texts in, how did Allmark look? I didn't stay up. He had one he probably wants back.
The one goal, the one that slid along the ice, right? Where Rodriguez was back-checking?
It was the fourth goal.
The one-timer.
I don't think it was along the ice. I think it went through him.
Oh, okay. That was a bad goal.
Yep.
You'd like him to stop that. Outside of that, I mean, Getzlaff's goal on the power play, he gets a piece of it and knocks it into the net.
Yeah, I mean, they were moving the puck around. They got cross-ice passes. Yeah, and
they did what the Sabres do on the power play.
Yep.
So I thought he played well. I mean, I think for his first three games, he's played well this year. I thought, you know, again, in front of him, they did not play that well last night. And I think give credit. I know you brought up the officiating. Who knows? Maybe that took him out. But give credit to Anaheim. They played a good game. They really took the play to the Sabres
and their goalie
the last couple
kept
periods.
Them in.
Oh, it could have been 4-0 before the first goal by Anaheim.
Yep, easy.
You know, Gibson made some really big saves. Again, you couldn't play much better than the Sabres did in the first period, but they only got two goals.
The first period was a ton of fun. High danger chances for and against, mm-hmm. right? Both teams credited with 8 high danger chances in the first period. I would think Anaheim's were all, not all power play, but a bunch of those were on the power play.
Yeah.
But even strength, 8 each. Anaheim's were late. They started to pour it on once it became 2-0 and 2-1.
Yeah, I didn't think Ullmark had to do a ton in that first period. I thought the Sabres played really well on offense, but I thought they played well in all ends of the ice, and they really should have had more than a 2-0 lead going into that final 2 minutes before Anaheim got on the board. You know, VC had a couple chances. Larson had a chance and then another beautiful opportunity on his own rebound, you know, and he couldn't convert on either of those.
Yeah. So are they soft?
Left you wondering. No, I don't think they're soft.
No.
You know, and I don't think this is one of those games where you're going to, well, Anaheim showed a model. You know, this is what
please.
You do. They played a physical game, but it's not like the Sabres were running around scared. I mean, they didn't turtle and they didn't look like they were scared.
No, not at all.
But they were taken out of their game by the aggressive approach. And I mean, when I say aggression, not like hitting guys and dropping gloves. I'm talking about getting on the Sabres, their forecheck, their backcheck, putting pressure, the puck pressure they had. They were really good, especially in the PK, in the passing lanes. I just thought they said, we can't let the Sabres have time and space. They're skilled. They're quick. We have to take that aspect away from them, whatever way, shape, or form it might be, maybe the odd interference or trip. And they were really effective at that.
Jack's goal was nice.
It was that, you know, that's the goal. I don't know. It's stupid, but I see that goal and I just think it's great to have that guy. Like for years, we'd watch other teams and these really talented players get goals. I'm like, man, must be fun having a guy like that on that team. Yes, it is.
Just
that cycle.
Just the power he skates with. The guy's on his back. He can carry a defender down the ice and go unassisted one-on-one with a goaltender.
Well, I'm glad he shot it too, because he had a couple guys trailing him on the play and an odd man rush. And he thought, I don't know.
To the net?
Yeah, don't try and pass it across. There was an Anaheim D-man back there. Maybe he would have broken up the play. I'm glad Jack just took it. You know, he gains the zone, and the defender's catching up and draping on him. And instead of passing it across to one of his teammates, you know, he talked a lot, right? Going into the season, he wants to shoot more. Good. Make that play. I mean, Gibson looked terrible on that play. I mean, that was it. Once he drove through went right through the crease, Gibson had no prayer of stopping that play.
Memories of Pominville v. Emery. Right.
Yeah, that's
right? The Pominville
goal.
That's
the kind of play. Yeah. You know, maybe Gibson thought for sure he was going to go to the backhand. I don't know. But once Jack went to the far post and got to the left of Gibson, that side of the net was open for him to put it right in. It was a beautiful play.
And Olofsson is up to 6.
Yeah, all on the PP.
6 goals.
Yeah. But like you said, we'll see what happens. He's got to start producing 5-on-5. You can't just have a guy only producing on the power play. You need him in even strength, too, because you're not going to get 7 power plays every game. This just in. In the meantime, okay, you play, I think, the lesser
Kings.
Of the two teams tonight. Beat the Kings.
Hope that Jonathan Quick's in net.
Yeah, with his 7 whatever save percentage.
That should be a free win.
I don't think they played last night, but Anaheim at this point is playing better than Los Angeles. So split Southern California. I'm good taking a split out of those two games in Southern California, and then take your shot in San Jose on Saturday night.
We still have a lot to learn about this team, too, like how they respond after losses, what Kruger's tone is after a loss.
And they blew a two-goal lead again.
Right. Last night, it's first period. It's much, you know, but
whatever.
Still.
It's two-goal lead, and third time this season you couldn't get it to 3, whatever. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. How they respond,
Well, just his tone after a loss, what they sound like after 2 straight losses, what he sounds like, what his messaging is. There's a piece from John Vogel of The Athletic wrote about Ristolainen, who called Kruger maybe the best coach he's ever had as a pro. And I wonder how many times we hear that. Jimmy Vesey's had some really great things to say about him. Paul's talked about how much they really like the coach.
It's funny, in Friedman's 31 Thoughts, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, his 31 Thoughts, he brought up the goal that Columbus scored in overtime. And it gets to your point about Kruger and all this stuff. It's not that Kruger's doing something that no other coaches have ever done. But he mentioned that goal. And if you remember, that was after that game. So Eichel gets checked in the corner, turns the puck over, and Columbus scores the game-winning goal in overtime off the turnover. And after the game, Kruger said something to the effect of, essentially, that's on me. I put Jack out for the first shift. It was a long shift. And then I put him back out for the third shift. I'd like that one back. Like, you know, it wasn't. And Friedman points out, you know, if you're Eichel or any player, you love a coach having your back. So far, he does. You know, again, he's not the only guy who would say that, but I'm sure that's one of the reasons why they are happy with what they've seen from Ralph Kruger so far. They haven't really faced any adversity. You know, the adversity was an overtime loss to Columbus, a couple blown third period leads where you still came back and won. Okay, now you lost in regulation. This just in, at some point there will be back-to-back losses.
Yep.
And does this the team respond, or does it go into some kind of slide? We'll see. That's why I think tonight, come on back tonight. And I think you're better than Los Angeles and, you know, get a win out of L.A.
Dan from Doylestown writes, he wants Pominville on the second line. Pominville was good last year.
He was. But
is he better than someone they've got now?
I don't.
Quite possibly.
In limited minutes, I think he's good. I don't know if he's a good second line guy anymore. I would have considered Pominville for the fourth line in the offseason, like bringing him back for some scoring on that line.
I mean,
I don't know.
Can I dress him 5-on-5 on?
Can I trade a defenseman for a guy who can score?
Don't listen to this because it doesn't count, but I'm going to say it.
Okay, I'll take my headphones
off.
He'd
be better on the first line than Olofsson.
Well, 5-on-5, yes, he would be. Yes.
Well, I mean,
And he'd be better. Look, he'd be better on the second line than Sobotka.
Olofsson. I'm raving about Olofsson. He's just not quite, to my eye, ready for 5-on-5 on the top line against top defenses, right?
So maybe Kruger says it's too much at this point. Let's take a little bit off his plate and drop him off that line.
He did mix his.
He can still be on the number one power.
Sure, of course, right? He mixed his defensive pairs last night. Kruger did. Went more to the preseason pairs.
Yeah. He split up what Dahlin and Miller. Did he keep? I'm trying to remember if he kept Scandella with Yokoharu.
Dahlin was with Risto late in the game.
Yeah.
So let's not keep that together.
I think that's bad for Rasmus Dahlin if he's on a pairing with Rasmus Ristolainen. 803-0550 to join us on this Thursday morning.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has led to some great trivia we will get to later in the show.
Also, when we get back, an early morning chat with Lorenzo Alexander, the Bills linebacker, is going to join us when we get right back. We have phone lines open all morning for you. The Fitz news came out after the show yesterday, right? It didn't come out.
Yeah, we did not get it.
All right, so we can talk about Fitz starting against the Bills.
Yes,
Sunday.
We need to talk about that, and we need to yell at the Bills fans that are actually scared. They need to be scared straight. Right back. Come on, easy. What are you worried about here?
You know what we need? Oh man, we need. Was it Brad Ryder had the truth detector? Didn't Brad do that? Truth detector? He'd play back press conferences.
Yes, we did.
And it was funny listening to Sean McDermott talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday and how he's got to be so careful about what he says about the opponent. And I would love to have a thought bubble in his head going, what is he really thinking about Fitzpatrick and the quarterback?
Did you hear Levi Wallace this week said the Dolphins have great receivers and they could come in here and put up 40 points?
Oh, man. If they put up 40 points, I'm leaving town.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me?
We got
problems.
This defense? Please. Anyway, phone lines are open. You can give us your thoughts on the game last night. Hopefully you stayed up, listened to it, watched it, whatever the case may be. You want to get into some football discussions. We got some other stuff to talk about. NFL coming out yesterday, the commish talking about how they would prefer an 18-game season, but they'll settle for a 17-game season. Well, actually, we'll ask Lorenzo about that because he's on the NFLPA Executive Committee. And talk about a sky judge and all this fun stuff with what's going on with penalties and everything in the NFL. It's a mess. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. If there's something else you want to get to, hey, it's a free country. Call and share.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just got to stay disciplined, you know, each play. I mean, each play presents its own difficulties and tasks. And, you know, when the ball's in the air and it's 50-50 ball, you just got to want it more. And, you know, he's going to put some out there. He's shown on tape he's going to put some 50-50 balls out there and believe that his guys are going to come down with it. So those are the plays that we got to make.
That's Bills safety Jordan Poyer. Ryan Fitzpatrick back at New Era Field. We'll take on the Bills on Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about that. Lorenzo Alexander's going to join us, too. Let us get you headlines on this Thursday morning. We'll start with the Sabres, who suffered their first regulation loss of the hockey season.
Only Colorado without a regulation loss.
And they're good. Let's see. Well, final 5-2 final. Sabres actually scored the first two goals of the game. Jack Eichel, a beautiful individual effort, his fourth of the year. And then Victor Olofsson again on the power play, his sixth. And then Anaheim scored the next five. The final goal was an empty netter. The Saves will be in Los Angeles tonight. Stay in Southern California. We'll take on the Kings tonight. That is a 10:30 faceoff, and we'll have it here on WGR beginning at 9:30 with the pregame show. Colorado, as Jeremy mentioned, lost in overtime to Pittsburgh, 3-2. Connor McDavid had a five-point night. Edmonton wins again. They beat Philadelphia 6-3. The Leafs lost to Washington 4-3. Bills news. Limited practice yesterday for John Brown, groin injury. And Matt Milano, hamstring. Ryan Fitzpatrick will start for the Dolphins. So much for Josh Rosen as the starter for the rest of the season. Roger Goodell says the NFL would like an 18-game schedule. They'll settle for 17. Mason Rudolph cleared out of concussion protocol. Bad news, Devlin Hodges fans. Mike Tomlin yesterday said Rudolph, when healthy, is the starting quarterback for Pittsburgh. Tonight, your Thursday night matchup, you can watch LeSean McCoy. Maybe Sammy Watkins. He's got a hamstring. It's Kansas City at Denver. Baseball, Houston and the Yankees were rained out yesterday, so game four of the ALCS is tonight, first pitch at 8:08, and Joe Maddon is the new manager of the Angels. Headlines brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order stuffed crust pizzas, Wing Street wings, and more at pizzahut.com. No one out pizzas the Hut.
I'm going to make a big, strong case against the 17-game schedule. We can run it by Lorenzo Alexander, too. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Here it comes. I don't want to have to say stuff like 10-7.
Hey, who plays 8 road games and who plays 9 home games?
Great question.
You rotate it year by year, I
guess? Do they send a neutral site game to...
Oh, a neutral site game for everybody.
Around the world?
Remember the NHL did that, right? Didn't they have one year where they played like 84 games or 82 and two of them were neutral site? Everybody had neutral site games, I thought, one year.
I just mean if they wanted to keep going...
Yeah, maybe they go around the world.
And expanding more?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't do it. I can't say 10-7. What kind of year do you think they're going to have? I got to be honest. 12-5.
It's a crooked number.
It's right.
You cannot have crooked numbers.
We have figured out that 10-6 means a thing as much as it means a number. 10-6, 11-5, 12-4. You toss those numbers next to each other. Hmm. Yeah.
9-8.
Oh, another 6-11 season. Right. Just to make you uncomfortable? Yeah. Who wants that?
Let's go right to the Western Hotline because Lorenzo Alexander's joining us, and he is on the Executive Committee for the Players Association. We'll get to that topic in a moment. Lorenzo, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us right and early.
Oh, yeah. No worries at all. How you guys been?
You're winning, so we're good, man. You guys win. I'm in a good mood. You know, if you need money, let me know.
All right, I will. I actually do.
Okay, I'll Venmo you. So listen, before we get to football, you are involved in an event coming up this Saturday, Sink Cancer with Cornhole, and that's going to be Saturday afternoon at the AdPro Sports Training Center. Why don't you start us off there, talk a little bit about the event.
Well, you know, obviously with the month of October, the NFL does a Crucial Catch Awareness Month, raising awareness and really funds for cancer research and over my years, I've, especially here in Buffalo, have built a relationship with two sisters, Mary and Patty, who love the Buffalo Bills. Mary is battling ovarian cancer. And over the years, I've gotten to know these two sisters, these two ladies, and just watched the way they love on each other, the way they love the community, and really supported me. And so kind of out of that relationship, I thought it would be kind of cool to bring Bills Mafia together and have a cornhole tournament, obviously the day before we play Miami, just for community effect and obviously to raise money for people here locally in Western New York that are battling ovarian cancer, something that plagues, you know, one out of four women. And then, one out of 75 women will actually develop ovarian cancer, and there's no early detection test. And so to be able to raise awareness is definitely important, and it's even more important to be able to find an early detection test because most women don't find out to maybe stage four when it's really at a point of no return in most cases.
What? How good are you at cornhole?
I can play a little bit. You know, I play from time to time. I haven't played since the season started, but you know, I'm very competitive in whatever I'm doing and can throw the bags around a little bit.
So, folks, if you want to go, it is this Saturday. It's at 1:30 at the AdPro Sports Training Center down at Orchard Park by the stadium. If you'd like to get tickets, you can go to sinkcancer.eventbrite. That's B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com, and Lorenzo will be there. I've got my first question for you, Lorenzo, is I was really thinking about this a lot last night. I want to ask you this. So your defense, you and the defense look really, 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 really good. What's the best defense you have been on in a single season in your entire career?
Wow. I mean, it probably would have to be, last year. So I don't think I've ever finished top number two at all. I've been on some top five defenses when I was in Arizona. I think one year we finished top five. And maybe Washington was more like a top 10 to 12 defense. Oh, Carolina, my rookie year, too. 2005 with Dan Morgan at the linebacker, Chris Jenkins, and we had a really good defense there. That was a top five defense, too. So this is by far the best, you know, as far as me being a part of it, playing a lot, and seeing guys loving on each other and continue to get better. This year, I think, has a chance to be even better than last year's.
You touched on it a little bit. I wanted to ask you, since you said, you know, this could be the best defense you've ever been on, why is it so good? What are some of the reasons that have allowed you guys to be playing at such a high level so far this season?
I think our biggest attribute that we have is that it's really faceless in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, you obviously have Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver that are two big-time first-round picks and Tre'Davious, but once you get past that, I mean, there's a lot of guys that can fill in roles and play multiple positions, and there's a lot of depth. And I guess the best example of that is, you know, Taron Johnson goes down at nickel, and I think he's probably one of the best nickels in the game right now as far as what he's been doing last year and how he started the season. But then you have guys like Saran Neal, Dean Marlowe, Kevin Johnson comes in that I know are not known nationally, come in and play at a high level, and there's not a drop-off. And I think you can see examples of that throughout our roster. And obviously with some of the injuries we have, we're going to have to continue to do that because that's what it's all about in the NFL, next man up. And if we can continue to sustain that and have guys really continue to rise their game and there's no drop-off when starters go down, that's what really allows you to be great in this league.
Lorenzo, you've been around for a long time. You've got teams that look internally and try to focus on what they can control. But a bye week might be a good opportunity to just take a look outside and see what the rest of the league is doing. So, you know, when you guys got back to work, did anybody talk about the rest of the AFC? Anybody talk about what, I don't know, how you stack up? Because, it is a competition, and you guys are in it to win it, so you don't even bother talking about it. Don't even broach the topic?
Not really. I mean, it's all about us, and we worry about ourselves. I'm pretty sure guys watch games and see, like, maybe highlights or the trades. I was like the Jalen Ramsey trade or stuff like that, but we don't sit around and say, well, you know what's really going on over in whatever team. We got to really get ready for them. No, I mean, the bye week for us is really to recharge, replenish, and kind of refocus ourselves, you know, spend some time with our family to come back here ready to try to make a run. And obviously it starts with the Miami Dolphins. But we don't look around the league and try to compare ourselves and try to get ready for somebody because we got to be ready every single week for whoever we're competing against.
We're with Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander on our Westar Hotline. You mentioned some of the young guys on the defense, and we had you on at training camp, Lorenzo, and I remember you were just raving about Tremaine Edmonds and what you think you were going to see in year two. Five games in what ways do you think he is better than what he was last year?
the command of the defense. I mean, as far as getting the checks and guys all on the same page and getting us in to whatever we may be doing, that week he has took leaps and bounds in his confidence. And I think the, another thing is his awareness. You know, obviously nobody plays a perfect game, but when you really know when you start to develop and really have a great understanding of the scheme and who you are as a player, is when you know you made a mistake and you haven't went to the sideline, so you're able to correct it within a drive, so the offense is not able to continue to attack you. And I've really been able to see him self-correct himself and then make a mistake on maybe play two, but if we run the same play and they run the same play to try to attack that what they've gotten earlier, it seems like to replace successful plays. He's made the correction, and now he's stopping that play. And so those are probably the two biggest things I've seen out of his personal growth as a football player.
Before we let you go, we were talking about the season and the schedule. You're on the executive committee for the Players Association, so the league would like 18. They'll settle for 17. What do the players think about the idea of adding at least a game to the regular season schedule?
And as far as we go, it's not going to happen. I mean, obviously, you know, I was asked this question yesterday because Goodell came out and said he would love to go to 17, obviously eventually 18. But I think at the end of the day, you have to understand the CBA is not a bunch of one-off issues. And so it's not, you know, let's go to 17 games over here, and then let's take away two preseason games, health care. It's kind of like a big package. And so we have to assess everything collectively together. And the way it stands right now, we're not moving to 17 or 18 games at all. Clearly, simply because of player safety issues and just how demanding the game already is. You add two more games, you definitely shorten guys' careers. So the way things stand, and based on our talks, that's not even in our foresight right now as far as the players.
But if you guys, like you said, healthcare is big for everybody, and what happens to you beyond your playing career, if the proper package is laid out, is that something you think the players would agree to, playing another game if everything is taken care of medically?
Probably, but I mean, what's the proper package? I mean, it's a pretty big package, and obviously, we all know how expensive healthcare is. Is the league willing to take care of guys in that fashion? So far, based on what we've seen with some of our former players, I would say probably not. And so that's why I am, not optimistic about players ever really agreeing to go to 17 or 18 games.
Lorenzo, appreciate it. We know you got to get to work. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Good luck on Sunday against the Dolphins.
I appreciate it.
Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, joining us on our West Her Hotline. We'll talk a little bit more about the season and the schedule, since that is an issue that ownership is pushing for. Make more revenue, that's for certain. 803-0550 to join us. Sabres losing last night in Anaheim. We've been talking about that. We'll get to some more football over the course of the show as well as we get ready for Sunday.
So Brian Flores says, fits. For myriad reasons, not just, well, whatever. When you say there are a number of reasons, he was then asked and said the crowd. The
crowd, yeah.
Bills Mafia, of course. Yeah. How about this reason? Rosenthal has value. Fitz doesn't. They can trade Rosen
before
and they
the deadline,
can't trade
think?
Fitz. Maybe not even before the deadline. Off season.
Yeah.
Next year's draft. All right, hey, well, we've still got him. You want him? Fourth round pick.
That'd be pretty funny. If a first-round pick quarterback gets traded
twice
and is playing for three different teams in his first three seasons in the league, I bet you I would think he would love it because he's got to know.
You would think.
His future in Miami does not look good.
I saw three or four different teams suggest it yesterday. Tennessee, I mean, New England's always linked there. Who knows if they would.
Does Bruce Arians like Josh Rosen? I would think they might be looking for a quarterback. Mariota's done in Tennessee.
Maybe
Winston in Tampa.
If the Dolphins are smart, they do that.
Yeah.
They don't make him look any worse than he already has looked.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, somebody's going to want this guy. Yeah. Because Sal and I were going through all the teams that might want a first-round quarterback in this year's draft, and there are only going to be so many. So the team that gets left out, hey, how about this guy? He was a first-rounder 2 years ago, and he's been in terrible situations. Why don't you give him a try?
Yeah.
There's going to be GMs that liked him that didn't take him.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I didn't mention Arians, but I guess it would be the GM technically in Tampa. But, I mean, if Arians
could be
goes
anybody.
To the GM and says, I really liked Rosen coming out of college, I would think they would look into trying to do something about it.
Denver? There are options.
Yeah.
To me, that's the smartest thing.
Well, maybe, you know, who knows how Brissett plays, and the Colts won't have a high first-round pick at this rate, but maybe Indy's looking for a quarterback in the draft. They got Jacoby Brissett and, I think, Chad Kelly. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just try to be us. As long as we be us, like we did today, you know, work hard in practice, work hard Thursday, work hard Friday, come in Saturday for the walkthrough. Try to get a win. We had a great day of practice today, and we feel good. I feel good about it.
That is Bills running back, former Dolphin running back Frank Gore. So I tweeted out. I even put up a web poll too at WGR550.com. Are you nervous about the Bills facing Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Find me the people that vote yes.
Tim said
they must come to the studio. Oh, okay. So we can place our hands on their shoulders, look them in the eye, and say, buddy, come on.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, come on.
You know, he almost led a fourth quarter comeback against Washington. Tim said, yes, not betting on this game.
Well, it's a 16.5-point spread.
I thought it was up to 17.
Oh, is it 17 now?
I thought I saw 17 this morning. William tweeted in, typically I would be. But I don't think he's got a good enough team around him to be worried. Even if you were worried about Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you are.
Do you remember what it was like to have Fitz?
Have you seen the Dolphins play?
To have Fitz be your quarterback?
Yeah. It was always a ride.
It was an adventure.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that sounds worse than it was.
Come on. We're sitting here talking about this defense and how well it's playing and how it made Brady look bad. And I can't tell you. I mean, Sunday is just as guaranteed a win I felt about this team in I don't know how long. Just, it's sometimes you'll face a team, it might be really bad on one side of the ball. Like maybe they got a really bad offense, but their defense is okay. Actually, there have been plenty of Dolphin teams over the years, many of them with Ryan Tannehill, who played the Bills, and their offense wasn't that good, but their defense usually had some good players on it, could keep them in the game. This team is bad all over. They're terrible on offense, and they're terrible on defense. And, you know, we had a guest on from Miami the other day from one of the radio stations down in Miami explaining they don't do anything well. So
that they don't even have NFL players.
There's just, right, they moved all their guys out. So, don't be nervous. This defense should be able to force Ryan Fitzpatrick into a handful of turnovers. The bad throws, the throws he's going to try and make to fit things into windows, and it should snowball. And they certainly don't have an offense to bail them out if they get in a hole, and they certainly don't have a defense that should be able to shut down the Bills and keep them in check while their offense overcomes some turnovers. It's just, there's just no reason to worry about it. 803-0550 to join us. Carly says, every game I'm worried. It's hard to grasp the concept that we actually might be good. They're good. Grasp it. Don't worry about Sunday. 803-0550.
They're definitely better than Miami.
Yes, and they're better than Washington down the road. It will feel, you know, yes. They. Come on. They're winning this game Sunday, and it really should not be a Herculean effort. 803. It's a good thing Lorenzo didn't hear us say that. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Sabres lost to Anaheim last night. You can share your thoughts on the game last night. You can actually just join in on the discussion on Ryan Fitzpatrick, too. Vote on the web poll at WGR550.com and give us a call. Hey, don't forget to go online by Sunday. Have a chance to win a Thursday night football viewing party for you and nine of your friends at Fat Bob's Smokehouse. You can register if you're interested to win WGR550.com. The party includes two drink tickets, an appetizer buffet, and other great prizes. Fat Bob's Smokehouse, delicious barbecue, award-winning mac and cheese, 22 beers on tap, 41 Virginia Place in Buffalo. Again, enter now through this Sunday at WGR550.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.